From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR live session from afar. My guest today is someone we have been playing on the station for the better part of two decades now and has just released a new record called Girl I Used to Be, which I think is record number 16 or something like that. It's Garrison Starr. Hello, nice to meet you. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, Eric, thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
It feels like a long time coming. Like I said, we've been playing your music for a very long time here and kind of watched all of the chapters of your professional career. This new record is fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me for you to say that because I'm really proud of it. I'm very proud of it.
Before we get started here, where are you today? Are you in Los Angeles?
I am. I'm in my home studio here.
I love it. Radio folks are not going to get to see, but I can see a nice collection of guitars right over your shoulder.
Yes, there they are. And my Christmas tree and my Christmas Santa hat that I'm going to keep up until next Christmas.
Might as well, right? Give us something to look forward to when all of this
passes. It's a vibe. It's a vibe. Yeah.
You've been in LA now for, what, 25 years? Something like
that? Yeah, close to. I mean, I moved here in 1998, but I did move to Nashville around 2006 for a couple years, and I lived in New York for almost a year before I moved back to LA in 2010. So pretty much 20 years.
Moving to Nashville makes a lot of sense considering the kind of music that you make and the sound of your music. Moving away from Nashville doesn't seem to make as much sense, though. What brought you out to LA?
Well, to be honest, so my friend Bradford Cobb from Tunica, Mississippi, he manages Katy Perry. And Bradford in 98 was moving out here to start working for direct management. Obviously, this was a little before he discovered her, but he was going out here to start working with direct management. And they managed the Counting Crows and the B-52s at the time. And he said, you know, me and my girlfriend at the time had just gone through a really hellacious experience at Ole Miss of being outed and pretty much kicked out of the evangelical Christian community. And we were in a tough spot. And Bradford was like, man, come to LA. I'm moving. You guys put your stuff in my moving truck. We were like, okay. So we did. And yeah, it's like this place has felt like home to me since I landed here. And it's funny. I know it would make sense for me to live in Nashville, but I just don't want to live there. I want to live here. I love this place. I love this city. It's given me a freedom and a, you know, an anonymity that I just appreciate so much. And I think I definitely needed that at the time when I moved. I had to get out of the South. I was suffocating. I can't leave the city. I've tried and I've always come back to it.
Well, you can't leave because it's so sprawling. You never actually get to the edge of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, oh, almost made it.
So you mentioned Ole Miss. You went to school there for a while. And were you making music while you were still in college or did it kind of happen after you were done with school?
Oh, no. I started making music. And, you know, it's one of the other full circle things about this record is that, you know, I'm working with Nielsen Hubbard. He produced this record and he's been a longtime friend and collaborator. He's even more like family. It's more than family. He's a part of me. And I started playing music with him as soon as, because we had met at a Young Life camp or something. Like, I'd met a bunch of those guys like the summer before I was starting school. So he and I already were playing together and writing together, and we were touring together as soon as I hit the ground in Oxford. You know, I was hanging with Nielsen and Clay and Helena, and we were all, you know, we became This Living Hand, and we were touring all over the South, playing the worst clubs you've ever been to in your life for nobody, but we loved it. It's the best time of our lives, man, you know?
So this new record, Girl I Used to Be, it feels like the pressure finally built up and the Steve valve exploded and out comes all of the feelings. But this is actually a collection of songs that you have written over a number of years, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. And it's interesting. One of the things I love about this record, and I just feel like is a cool part of the story is, you know, these were all songs, you know, because I just kind of figured my artist career was done. I looked at it and I'm just like, man, I'm playing shows to nobody. I'm not connecting. Something's not working. Like, you know, I just felt like I was banging my head against a wall. I was playing to less and less people. I couldn't make a living doing it. And, you know, it's after everything that I went through, you know, in the evangelical church and all that stuff, I just got to a point where I think I couldn't separate myself from it, from the disappointment and from the feeling of failure. I just could not separate myself from those feelings. Like I had internalized it to the point where I just had to take a step back. If I, you know, and so I thought, well, how can I start figuring out how to get my songs to make me money? I guess I'll just be a songwriter, you know? And so I started like casting nets, you know, collaborating with other people, writing for TV and film, and, you know, just kind of throwing it against the wall to see what would stick at first. And, you know, through that process, I accumulated all these songs over the years with a lot of them with young female artists or younger artists who weren't cutting the songs. And I'm just like, finally, I started looking back at this, all the work that I'd done, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this song hasn't been cut, this and this. And I started looking at the body of work that I had, and I realized, oh wow, this whole time I thought I was the writer coming in to help them write their songs. And in fact, they all helped me to be able to tell my story in a way you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's such a gift that this record is a gift. It's a gift. I mean, I never knew if I would want to make another record, you know, but when I saw this material and I saw the through line of the story, it's my story. You know, I realized, okay, I have something to say again. And I reached out to Nielsen and I'm like, dude, you're the only person who can do this with me because I need this to be real and I need it to be me and I need to stop messing around. I feel like sometimes artists have to go around the mulberry bush to figure out, you know, where your lane is, you know, but it's an important process to go through. I think, you know, I can look back at the records I've made and I'm proud of the fact that in those moments, I created that music regardless of whether it was going to work or not.
You said in there that you felt like you finally got to a place where you had something to say again. And I dig into that a little bit and I think, well, if these songs that are on this new record were composed over the course of the last decade, give or take, you've always had something to say.
Yeah.
You just didn't have the opportunity to say it.
Yeah. Well, I think I kind of had to get out of my own way. You know, I think I was telling myself stories about what other people thought about me, you know, and playing that comparison game and just really working from the outside in, trying to figure out what did people want from me? What did I do wrong? What should I do now? Instead of being like, well, what do I want to do? Do I even want to be in this business? You know, do I enjoy what I'm doing? What's happening here? So, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to reconnect in an honest way with myself and, you know, go through a process of self-forgiveness and, you know, just kind of getting real about my past and being able to let that go, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear a tune. I know you have a plethora of guitars at your disposal. Which one are you going to use for our session today and what do you want to start with?
Well, you know, but the one that I've been playing the most is my little Takamine lawsuit guitar. It's it's the lawsuit series where they ripped off the Martin logo. And I've just always kind of been fascinated. They were made like in the 70s and early 80s. And it looks, I mean, I'm not a Martin aficionado, but I do love them. It looks like a D16 or D28 to me or something. It's just like kind of a small dreadnought. So I'm going to play that guy today.
And what do you want to start with?
The Devil in Me.
Ah, the subtle tune that has been the first single
from
this record.
It's very subtle. Yeah, it's very subtle. I don't know if you'll get the message, but here's hoping that you'll get the message.
This is Garrison Starr playing live for us on JPR Live Sessions.
I thought I'd built up my skin, but standing here I'm feeling paper thin. Cause you say one little thing and it goes caving in, caving in, caving in. Thought I was in the clear, but I can't silence the voices I hear. When I face myself in the mirror, ooh, I see the ears, I see the ears. And I lost my youth, hiding the devil in me. I broke into fighting the devil in me. And is that really he or you who see? Yeah, the devil in me. They meant, and I made my heart twist and bend, all for nothing, nothing. all that I wanted. I could never get. Is it over yet? Is it over yet? All that I wanted, I could never get. Is it over yet? Is it over yet? All that I wanted, I could never get. Is it over yet? Is it over? I lost my youth, hiding the devil in me. I broke into fighting the devil in me. Is it really all you see? Oh yeah, the devil in me. Ooh, yeah, the devil in me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah, the devil in me. Hey, yeah. Oh, the devil in me.
That's called The Devil in Me. Garrison Starr is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Thanks for playing.
Oh, thanks again for having me, Eric. I'm so glad to be with you.
You mentioned this mulberry bush that you have traveled around. And for folks that have not been familiar with your work over the years, this debut record comes out on Geffen, major label, major budget, major push. Follow-ups on what, Back Porch and Vanguard, like you have been on the waves of the music business and yeah. Just kind of tossed around a bit trying to figure out what your sound was. Is all of that, like the machinery, what led to you thinking maybe this is not for me? Like maybe I'm not going to be a performing artist, I'm just going to be a songwriter?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, I definitely feel like... how do I say this? I want to be responsible with my words. I feel like the damage that the emotional abuse that I suffered, you know, in the evangelical church and the way I was tossed out on the street because of my sexuality. And by the way, I was outed. So I didn't have control of the narrative that was happening. You know, like I hadn't even figured out the way I felt about my own sexuality before I had people in my face with a spotlight in my face. I mean, I felt I was like interrogated by these people, like who were some of the closest people to me, who loved me more than anything. But what are you, how could you, you know, so that emotional abuse that I suffered is directly sort of parallel to the rejection and the, you know, emotional abuse that you sometimes suffer in the music industry, because it's not based on the right stuff. And if you don't go in there, you know, with a thick enough skin and, not just that, but like a good support system of people who can help you navigate that emotionally. And I want to say that it's probably more difficult for females. And I also want to say that it's probably more difficult at that time when I was, you know, coming to the surface, my music was being showcased in this big way. You know, I was gay, and that wasn't, you know, it wasn't chic at the time to be gay. It wasn't cool to be gay. You know, the story, again, the narrative, you know, had not really been established with me or my team. Everybody was just like, I don't know, oh my God. And, you know, when I was first starting to do press for at Geffen, you know, they didn't want to talk to gay press. They didn't want to do that. Well, but then when they weren't getting the response in the mainstream press, then they wanted to go after the gay stuff. And it's like, yo, I never came out as a gay artist. I'm just an artist who happens to be gay. And I've never flown a rainbow flag. It's not my identity. It just happens to be a part of me.
So the damage done in your earlier years by the church and the folks associated with it, did that lead you to just simply leave it all behind? Or have you managed to find spirituality in a way that works for you?
Oh, man. Well, the thing is, I've always believed in God. You know, I like the idea of a collaboration with the universe, you know, with God. You know, it makes sense to me, and it makes me, it inspires me, and it makes me feel safe, and it makes me feel good, and it makes me feel like I'm part of something bigger, you know, that I can be of service, and all of that language I resonate with spiritually. It's just the cultish side of it that I didn't. So to answer your question, yes, I've always had a relationship with God. I just, the Jesus piece, it's just confusing, especially now, because it's the Lynyrd Skynyrd Trump Jesus is what we have. You know, I don't think Jesus resonates with that. I think he looks down and is like, wow, these people really have missed the point.
It feels like you're in a place now of both comfort and confidence with who you are, what you believe, how you want to communicate your feelings and your beliefs. Has that position allowed you to do any work to repair any of those old, severed, damaged, rocky relationships?
Well, you know, it's a work in progress, yeah. You know, and I feel like the confidence and the self-love and, you know, just having some empathy and compassion for myself and being able to forgive myself for what I didn't know at the time and how I couldn't stand up for myself at the time. I was a child, you know, that has given me, you know, that has really given me some perspective, and it has given me the courage to, you know, say some things to members of my family or people who might think differently. And maybe whereas in the past, maybe they would say something or do something around me that I just let go because I didn't want to get into it. Now I can say, hey, you know, I don't feel very safe in this environment. Or I wish that you maybe wouldn't say that around me, or, you know, like setting boundaries and things like that has become easier, but it's always going to be uncomfortable. You know, it's something you have to fight for. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
I'd love to hear another tune. Will you play something else?
Now, I would love to. I was thinking I would share with you actually the second single that we put out this year in mid-February. It's called Make Peace With It.
All right. This is Garrison Starr on JPR Live Sessions.
Well, I buried all my pain, my temptation. And I lost the silver lining in a wasteland. Yeah, and everybody told me to be stronger. On the day I can't hold on any longer, I can't hold on any longer. Gotta make peace with it. Try to see the grace in it. Be a little more patient. Yeah, even when it breaks my heart, grow some kindness and be a light in the darkness. And if I'm ever gonna live this life, I gotta make peace with it. Yeah, I gotta make peace with it. Oh, love me in the beauty in the madness. Yeah, love me like an ocean drowns a sinking ship. 'Cause all my life I've been running for the hills somewhere. Out there, and all I wanted was right here. All I wanted was right here. Gotta make peace with it. Try to see the grace in it. Be a little more patient. Ooh, yeah, even when it breaks my heart, I'll grow some kindness. Be a light in the darkness. But if I'm ever gonna live this life, oh yeah, I gotta make peace with it. Oh, ooh, yeah, I gotta make peace with it. Nobody told me I could change. Nobody told me I could change. Nobody told me I could change. I gotta make peace with it and try to see the grace in it. Be a little more patient. Oh yeah, even when it breaks my heart, I'll grow some kindness. I'll be a light in the darkness. If I'm ever gonna live this life, oh, oh, I gotta make peace with it. If I'm ever gonna live this life. this life, I gotta make peace with it. If I'm ever gonna live this life, gotta make peace with it. Peace with it. Peace with it all. Hey.
That one is called Make Peace With It. Garrison Starr is playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. Music from the brand new record called Girl I Used to Be, garrisonstarr.com, the web address. Am I right that it is like album 16 if you add EPs and full lengths and everything together, or do you even know?
I don't even know, but I feel like someone else has said that same number, so yeah. I think it's you're probably right.
That's quite an impressive catalog of work.
Oh, well, thanks. I mean, yeah, I think Ani DeFranco probably has twice that many records out. But
Yes, but fewer songs that we can play on the radio.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
So you mentioned writing for TV, writing for film. You've had some ad placements as well. Hmm. What does that do for you when you hear? I mean, do you go actively seek out those things that have used your music? Like, do you watch the films and the TV shows?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Why?
I don't read the press. I don't watch the stuff. I give gratitude for the money in the bank, and I give gratitude for the people on my team. And I ask my manager, hey, did you read it? Was it great? It was great. I'll be like, okay, cool, thanks. Glad to know it came across good. But I will tell you a funny story about Bones. That was when it was placed in All American. You know, so you'll get a request that'll come in via email. And, you know, it's like there's a lot of people on the chain. So sometimes the emails get lost and you can't catch everything because you know how it is when you're on copy with a bunch of people. But this came in, and I remember seeing it and being like, oh, that's great. That sounds totally cool. Football show. I love football shows. So, you know, cut 2 months later, I'm like scrolling through Netflix and I see this All-American show and I'm like, oh, it's a football show. I'm going to watch the show. So I start binging this thing, and I think I watched the whole season in one day. I was obsessed with it. So we get to the finale scene, the very end of the whole season, and I'm invested in the characters. I'm invested in the show, and I hear this music come on, and I'm like, oh, this is dope. I like this a lot. This is cool. At the same time, I was like, well, this sounds familiar. That's weird. So I kept going, and it kept going. I'm like, wait, I know this song. What is this song? And then I heard my voice, and I was like, oh, my God, this is the placement they were talking about. I was so happy because I was so invested at that point that I'm like, yes. And I'm texting everybody like 3 months later, like, this placement is epic. They were like, we sent you the clip months ago. I'm like, sorry, I'm seeing it now. But yeah, that was really exciting. I mean, when people send me the clips to watch, I definitely will watch them. And it is very cool to see. Yeah. It's mostly cool to see how people react to it.
It's got to be interesting to see how other people associate the lyrics of your song with emotions that you did not intend for them to be associated with sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. It's a really cool thing. And it's just kind of goes to show you the power of music, you know, and what it can do. And it's also humbling and important to remember that, you know, that songs and lyrics and music affects everybody in a different way at a different time in their life, you know, and that's magic. That's the magic of creativity. And so I'm excited about that. And I would like to get back out there. I'd love to get back out there and play these songs for people. I love playing these songs.
Yeah, right on. Well, we will look forward to it when you do.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for doing this today. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's great to have the opportunity to talk with you.
Yeah, Garrison Starr is my guest on JPR Live Sessions. The brand new record is called Girl I Used to Be. Garrison Starr with 2 R's at the end.com is the website to learn more. Will you wrap up with one more tune?
I'd love to. Sure. I'd love to play you a song. It's a love song to Los Angeles. It's called Downtown Hollywood. Slender and free, her eyes were quiet and clean. She had a kind of say what you mean way of dealing with people. And I'd see her wrong whenever we were both back in town at some friends of friends' house from back in the old days in downtown Hollywood, sleeping with the stars. We were anything we wanted.
us against the world. We will rise and we will fall. It was reckless and naive the way we cashed it all in downtown Hollywood. Oh, 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 yeah. Takes a little money and luck to keep a child from growing up, and just a little undeserved applause keep him from thinking he has to. Well, you could have been the next Joan Jett. I might have been Fred Astaire, but right then and there we were as famous as anyone. Sleeping with the stars, we were anything we wanted. It was us against the world. Yeah, and we would rise and we would fall. It was reckless and naive the way we cashed it all in downtown Hollywood. Against the world. Mm-hmm. Never gonna die, gonna live forever. If we going down together. Never gonna die, gonna live forever. If we going down together. Never gonna die, gonna live forever. If we're going down together, never gonna die, gonna live forever in downtown Hollywood.
That is Garrison Starr, playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called Girl I Used to Be. You can find information online at garrisonstarr.com. Garrison, thanks again. Nice to chat.
Thank you, Eric. I enjoyed it.